When Ted Williams played his last game of baseball, his exit was heroic. September 28, 1960, Fenway Park, Boston. One last swing of the bat for the man who swung it so well, they called him Teddy Ballgame.
1-1 to Williams. Everybody quiet now here at Fenway Park after they gave him a standing ovation of 2 minutes, knowing that this is probably his last time at bat. One out, nobody on, last of the eighth inning. Jack Fisher into his windup. Here's the pitch. Williams swings, and there's a long drive to deep right. That ball is going, and it is gone. A home run for Ted Williams in his last time at bat in the Major League.
Today, Ted Williams, the American legend, left us once again. He suffered cardiac arrest and died this morning at the age of 83 in Florida. Williams played the outfield for the Boston Red Sox from 1939 until 1960. He was the last major leaguer to bat over 400 in the season, 406 in 1941. His career batting average of .344 is better than most good players ever hit in a single year. Twice he was the American League's most valuable player. He wrote a book on hitting that young, aspiring players have read for decades. But as he told us here in 1992, he didn't learn to hit from books or even from coaches.
The only thing I ever thought about, nobody ever taught me, told me how to swing, or nobody ever taught me anything about the mechanics of swinging. I swung so much as a young kid that it was starting to look natural to everybody by the time I was 14 or 15. But the only thing I ever heard when I was around that age, 13 or 14, I heard one of the older players, one of the older Sandlot players, who was a good player. He said, boy, that kid's got quick wrists. Well, I didn't know whether that was good or bad, but he said it in a complimentary way. And I said, well, if he thinks I got quick wrists now, it'll next time he sees me. So I didn't think so much at wrist, but I did think about being quick. And that was a thing that you had to think of all the time. And even to the last time day I played professionally, I said, you got to be quick and you got to hang in here.
Ted Williams has been quoted as saying, all I want out of life is for people to say, when I walk down the street, there goes the greatest hitter that ever lived. Well, people did say that about him. Williams' batting eye was so respected, people used to say that umpires wouldn't call a pitch a strike if Ted Williams didn't swing at it. People may have said that, but not Ted Williams.
You know, that kind of bothers me a little bit because I struck out 700 times, and I struck out 350 on called strikes. And, you know, that's somebody saying that, gee, I was getting all the strikes I wanted, baloney. I had a good eye at the plate for sure, and I didn't swing at many bad balls. But if it was a strike, it was called a strike.
One regret Ted Williams expressed was that his team, the Red Sox, only made it to the World Series once while he was in the lineup in 1946. He played poorly in the series, and they lost. At times, the lanky young man from San Diego feuded with Boston sports writers. But in retirement, his perfectionist competitive edges softened a bit, and he became a figure admired and loved by baseball fans and writers everywhere. Dan Shaughnessy is a sports columnist for the Boston Globe.
Well, I think he was the dominant athlete in Boston of the 20th century, without question. And you can certainly make a case for him as the greatest hitter who ever lived.
Nowadays, he's spoken of very fondly by sports writers. At one time, Ted Williams was at war with the sports writers.
There's no question about it. I wasn't working in those days, but it's clear there was a very tempestuous relationship between Ted and the Boston media. There were a lot of newspapers here at that time, a lot of competition. He was not particularly mature about it.
Well, one reason he wasn't terribly mature about it was he wasn't terribly old at that time.
Correct. You know, he was a young man when he came up here, and he was just a guy who wanted to hit and be left alone.
He hit just about as well as anyone, and he was the high priest of hitting at one time. People read his book on hitting for years.
Well, there's no question about it. I just went to Ireland with my family last week, and I have a 14-year-old son who bats left-handed, and we took along the science of hitting, which is the best thing ever done on the art, the science of hitting, and my son read every page of the book.
Did he take part in the civic life of Boston when he was playing at Fenway Park?
Well, the greatest thing Ted did in the civic life of Boston, outside of serving his country in two wars, would be his contributions to the Jimmy Fund, which is the local charity to cure cancer in children. Ted Williams had a brother who died of leukemia, and Ted would do anything to cure cancer in children, would do anything to raise money for the cause, and to his dying day continued to be active in that cause, and was the greatest fundraiser that the Jimmy Fund ever had. So that was his greatest contribution to the New England community.
But you mentioned that other remarkable fact about Ted Williams' career, that twice he left baseball to serve in the armed forces at war.
Yes, and if you... Ted Williams went away for World War II. He did not serve in that war. In Korea War, he flew many combat missions. He was John Glenn's wingman. John Glenn said he was a tremendous pilot. And Ted Williams was a guy who, if you take those 5 years in the prime of his athletic career and figure the numbers he would have put up, he certainly would have surpassed probably Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, everybody in just about every category.
In his later years, he was celebrated a great deal. Do you think that he finally got his due and was celebrated nationally as the great ball player that he was?
I think Ted Williams absolutely, late in his life, became kind of, I think Tom Boswell of the Washington Post described him as the Father Christmas of baseball. He was much appreciated, much loved. The 1999 All-Star game at Fenway Park, they wheeled him out onto the field. The greatest players of all time embraced him. The players of today embraced him, and I think it was a kind of a wonderful farewell and appreciation for everything he gave to the game.
He had a rivalry throughout his career, almost, with Joe DiMaggio.
No question. I mean, Joe DiMaggio was New York, Ted Williams was Boston. DiMaggio was a great all-around player. Ted was more of a pure hitter. DiMaggio's teams won. Ted Williams' teams finished second. So there was a rivalry there all along. But the one thing I think Ted prided himself on is that he could hit better than Joe.
And better than just about anybody else.
Just about anybody else who ever walked the face of the earth.
Dan Shaughnessy, thank you very much for talking with
My
us.
My pleasure.
Today. Dan Shaughnessy is a sports columnist for the Boston Globe and an author. We conclude this remembrance of the late Ted Williams with his own words. This is what he said at the White House in 1991 after President George Bush introduced him, and Ted Williams offered this epitaph to his own career.
I've always realized what a lucky guy I've been in my life. I was born in America. I was a Marine and served my country, and I'm very, very proud of that. I got to play baseball. I had a chance to hit. I owe so very, very much to this game that I love so much.
Ted Williams, the splendid splinter, died today. He was 83. There's more on the life and career of Ted Williams at our website, npr.org.